This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast. I'm Brett here with Carl.
And what episode is this?
254, I think. Did I get it right that time?
You did. We had to start over because we had an interloper.
Yeah, we had an outlander.
Yeah, an outlander came. And she's mean. And her name's Scarlet, and she's a mean poopy head.
Oh,
apparently it's about the storm, so we may want to get to moving here. I don't know.
Yeah.
First, it's been storming for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know, like every other day.
Before we start, we have a couple shout outs and thank yous.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to Lloyd Cryer, who is the mastermind of Texas Frightmare. About a week ago, I was wondering where our passes were. They send you a QR code in your email. Well, they're supposed to send it right after we were approved. Well, that was back in January. So I got to wondering. So I messaged him and he was like, check your email now. And I was like, he sent them right over. So that was awesome of him. I appreciate it. And that's 2 weeks from tonight, man. We'll be at Texas Frightmare Weekend. So
I can't wait because I'm going to be picking up my, subspecies Blu-rays coffin box, which should be at Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different movie production companies there.
Yeah, the Diabolic DVD I use is there. Everybody but the Scream Factory. I think Arrow's going to be there.
Yep, Arrow's going to be there.
I'm going to be smoozing with all these Blu-ray companies.
There's a couple of movies by that are screening that are by them. Who'd you just say? Arrow.
Yeah.
So that shout out. Did you have any shout outs you wanted about anybody you wanted to
shout out?
I
think that was the only thing we had. I made it sound like there was more than there were. We may have a special guest next Friday night.
Yeah, we're still working.
Or next Sunday night, excuse me.
Yeah.
I don't know what night it is.
Got these in too.
Can you see? Yeah, and the QR code works even on the picture of them you sent to me.
Try scanning it now through the camera and see.
I don't think it'll go that far.
You don't think so?
I can try.
Try it. Let's see.
Hold on a minute. Let me get my thing pulled up. Go for it. Wait a minute. I got it the wrong way. Boy, we're so professional. Where is it?
You see it?
It won't scan through here.
It won't.
No, it's too. It's so it won't work.
But it works. So
it actually works.
It's got the QR code for the YouTube channel on there. So finally got one to work that I made 20 of them and none of them work. And that was the only one that worked. So,
yep, it works. Got some cards. Probably going to need more before the next convention.
I got 1,000 of them. So,
well, hopefully all 1,000 of those people subscribe.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? I gotta
give you, push this give YouTube you a little
I'm gonna
bit.
I'm gonna give you a handful of them that you can pass out.
I'll pass out.
All right. Tonight we're covering humanoids from the deep.
Monster.
As it's known in the United States. Everywhere else it was called Monster.
Or Denizens of the Deep. Or Denizens of the Dark or something.
Darkness of the Deep or some shit. We'll get to that later. This is a Roger Corman, basically a Roger Corman production. So,
yeah, a late entry into the Roger Corman era. So,
he's still producing movies, dude, and he's 98 years old or some shit. He's still producing movies. That's crazy. All right. Humanoids from the Deep, directed by Barbara Peters and Jimmy T. Murakami, but he's uncredited. And we'll get into that a little bit later here.
Okay.
Screenplay by Frederick James. Story by Frank Arnold and Martin B. Cohen. Produced by Martin B. Cohen. And associate producer was Roger Corman, uncredited, even though it was his production company.
Yeah, everybody would have known it was Roger Corman, I would assume, back then.
Yeah. Cinematography, Daniel LaCombre. Edited by Mark Goblet. Music by James Horner. And actually, a really good soundtrack, and it's on Apple Music. I was listening to it before the show, actually.
I found it, and I also put it on Apple Music. It's a really good soundtrack.
Yep. Sort of sounds like a mixture of a bunch of different horror movies from the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, they did a good job with that.
So, James Horner, you did a good job.
Definitely did a good job.
Distributed by New World Pictures, which is Roger Corman's production company. And that was for the U.S. And then United Artists released it internationally. Released on May 16th, 1980. So almost, what, 43 years? 44 years?
44 years.
I was not quite 13 years old yet. Running time, 80 minutes. It seemed way longer than that for some reason. I don't know. Country.
It did seem longer than that.
I thought it was at least an hour and a half long, but yeah, it was, there's a lot going on in it. So English language budget was $2.5 million, and it only brought back 2.1 at the box office. So, but they've probably made their money back through, physical media and being all the streaming shit. So,
I guess.
Maybe.
You said you saw this thing on HBO.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, back when HBO used to show all the horror movies, and yep, that's where I saw Phantasm originally as a kid.
So. Me too.
I don't remember this on HBO.
It was probably right around the same time that I saw them both, too.
So. Honestly, the name hurts this movie more than anything.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. They
probably should have called it Monster or the Denizens of the Deep or whatever that third
or
title
even
was.
Monsters of the Deep.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
So if I would have saw it on HBO, I probably wouldn't have watched it based on the name back then.
Exactly, exactly. All right, Carl, let's hear a little synopsis of this movie here.
No, I have no clue. All I know is it's these Denizens of the Deep that come out of the ocean and murder the men and rape the women and kill all the dogs in the town. It's a fisherman's town.
I know. What was up with killing the dogs, man? What's up with that?
I don't know, but there's really no other way. It's just some kind of, the monster looks like maybe a mix of the creature from the Black Lagoon and maybe a slea stack and
with the exposed sort of like, yeah, slea stack and like,
yeah,
like its brain was exposed sort of a little bit.
Yeah. Very strange.
Big old head on it.
Bigger than
pumpkin head.
Well, I don't know that this movie is as bad as, I think this is better than pumpkin head.
Okay.
It actually has a sort of decent storyline. They're exactly, like trying to make, like, was it tuna or some kind of fish?
Salmon
bigger, you know, like, yep, bigger and larger and more
meat on them.
More meat on them. That's the word I'm looking for. And yep, instead they created these Denizens of the Dark or Monsters of the Deep or whatever they were. And I don't know how they just magically started coming out of the ocean. That's how the movie starts. There are these two idiots on a ship and a fishing boat, not a ship. And yeah. some little goofy kid, little fat kid,
who can
put the gas in the thing. So he ends up falling overboard and gets ate by the Denzian.
Spilt the gas.
And then the gas falls everywhere. And it's a very bloody scene. It's like Jaws. I think you even said that. It's like a Jaws scene where this Denzian eats the fat kid and blood everywhere. And then the boat blows up and that gets everybody's attention. And I guess that's where the Denzians or the humanoids first made their appearance.
So I guess it was supposed to be set as like a scientific experiment gone wrong, I guess you'd say.
It went wrong, all right.
Went wrong. So they've been making these things for years, and I guess they've just been growing and growing this whole time. So
and they just happened to finally hatch at this very moment that the scientist and the hatchery that created these things appear.
Ooh, that was a nice crack.
Yeah, it was. Before you get anywhere else, just a little tidbit on the movie. And I'm not trying to spoil your whatever you call them, trivias, but this was basically Roger Corman. There's on the Blu-ray, there's an interview with Roger Corman, and he said that he hired a director, and it was a female director, and he said, look, I want this movie, basically these monsters or Denzians will come up and they will murder the men and rape the women. That was his storyline. And he said she made the movie and gave it to him and said the murder scenes were gruesome, but the women's scenes were just basically a bunch of darkness. And
you couldn't see them hardly.
So Roger Corman basically went back and filmed another movie and splashed it into this movie. So it's sort of two movies in one.
With that other director, yeah.
With the other director.
The woman director knew about it, and he said, well, I'm going to have this other director come in and redo some scenes, and I'll let you know when we're done. You can take a look at it. Well, he never did.
Never did. And
until
she was
opening
pissed.
Night of the movie.
She was pissed. Most of the stars of the movie were not happy when they saw what it became. So I don't know if it would have been a better movie if they would have left it alone. I don't know. You basically got, you can tell that it's almost two movies sliced together.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what ruined it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the monster rape scenes, I guess, were sort of needed. I don't know. They made it sound like they were all these graphically bad scenes, but it wasn't even that graphic, honestly.
No.
So that's sort of what we got here, is a spliced movie that Roger Corman had him film twice. And it sort of weakened the movie to me maybe a bit. But then again, honestly, the other part of the movie was completely boring until the monsters or Denzian showed up. So,
well, Roger Corman is known for his sex and
gratuitous sex and violence,
you know.
Violence. And it did not have but one component of it all.
And she should have known what she was getting into. She knew, didn't she know who he was? Didn't she see anything else that he's ever done before?
I don't know.
No. So
I mean, maybe Roger Corman should have been more watching what she was doing. He didn't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of shitty for, I know Roger Corman's a known producer, but I think that's kind of shitty to go get another director and basically refilm half the movie and splice it together and not tell anybody about it. I don't think that's a real.
I bet that editor fucking hated his guts. I bet that was a bitch to do.
The editor actually said he enjoyed it.
Really?
He was interviewed also on the same little thing.
Probably good practice for him, I guess.
Yeah. So that's sort of what we got here, is this splashed movie that's called Monsters in some places and Humanoids from the Deep and others. Denzians of the Dark. And I think I might have just made that name up for it.
You did. I'll get to that.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to say this movie's terrible, but it's hard to explain.
Yeah, it's different for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's go over the cast here. First, we got Doug McClure as Jim Hill. Anna Terkel as Dr. Susan Drake. She's the one that was the scientist who made these fish people. I guess that's what I basically call them. They look like fish.
They look more like fish people than humanoids. Where did they come up with that name? They don't look humanoid.
I don't know. I think she said it once in the movie. Once one of her lines said something about being the humanoid features or something. So
yes, yeah.
All right, we got Vic Morrow as Hank Slatterly. He was like the sheriff, I guess you'd say. Cindy Weintraub as Carol Hill, Jim's wife. Anthony Pena as Johnny Eagle.
He was sort of the hero of the movie, I would call him.
Yeah, he was like, he was trying to fight the, actually there was a company wanting to come in and put a cannery factory.
Cannery, which they're the ones who invented the Denizens of the Dark.
Yeah.
And he was trying to fight the cannery, so it turned out he was sort of the hero.
Yeah, because they were wanting to put it on, like, real close to, he's a Native American. They were trying to put it close to, like, his native land and using native waters.
And it's very period correct as far as being, you know, anti-Native American and the whole bit from the late 70s, early 80s. So,
all right.
He was by default sort of the good guy.
Yeah. Next we got Denise Gulk as Linda Beale. Lynn Schiller as Peggy Larson. Megan King as Jerry Potter, not Harry Potter.
Harry Potter and then the Thunderheads.
That was sort of strange, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Brett Costlin as Tommy Hill. Hoke Howell as Deke Jensen. I think he was the fisherman on the boat that got blown up.
I think you're right.
And his sidekick, Don Maxwell, is Dickie Moore. David Strassman is Billy. That guy's a trip. I got to do a spoiler on this.
Can spoil this movie, I don't think it matters, dude.
There's a scene.
There's nothing to spoil in this thing.
They start this scene. It's a fucking ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, that is. That was one of the added scenes.
In a tent, and there's a naked girl.
Of course.
And then they show this guy, the David Strauss. I guess he's a real famous ventriloquist and comedian now. So I've never really heard of him.
This.
So, but yeah. That was fucking stupid. The ventriloquist doll's talking for him.
Yeah, this movie, there's nothing to spoil because the spoiler is they murder the men and rape the women. That's the movie. And we don't know what their motive is. They give no motive as to why these Denizens want to do all this, why they want to mate with the rape and mate with the women. It makes no sense.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to mate.
But why?
I don't know.
Yeah. Continue.
Lisa Glazer is Becky. Julie Castell as Seaweed Hag. Greg Travis as Mike Michaels, radio announcer. Linda Shane as Sally. She was Miss Salmon. They had the Miss Salmon. Miss
Salmon, and she was actually interviewed on the documentary.
Oh, yeah. Bruce Monet as Jake Potter, not Harry Potter. Sean Erler as Sean Hill, and that's the cast of
Denizens of the Deep.
Humanoids from the Deep.
Humanoids from the Darkness. They should have called it Fish Man from the Water.
Well, that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of Jaws meets Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, don't trash Creatures of the Black Lagoon like this.
Whoa, that was a good one.
Yeah, we're going to have to hurry up before we
Everybody else heard that too, probably.
Just a note, they only had three creature suits. So, and one was done good. The others were sort of half done. So every creature you see in this, they only had three, so they had to like keep filming them and putting more in, I guess.
Yeah, and have to be kept doing stuff for the ones that were two were like mostly in the water and one was on land.
Yeah, so that's all they had was, of course, it's a low budget Roger Corman movie. That's all they could come up with. But I'm gonna tell you what, I don't think the monster looks that bad.
Not really. No, it's just goofy
when
looking.
You first told me about this movie, you said the monster looks silly. I don't think he did.
Well, it's silly because it's just silly.
Well, it's not that silly.
I think it was meant to be silly a little bit. But it was cool back when I was 13.
I thought it still held up fairly well. They could have done worse. The special effects are really good in this movie, though.
Yeah, the
Denzi and eat somebody's one of them's head off and his skull and shit. They did a really good job.
That was right outside my door, dude.
Okay, well, let's move along real quick here.
All right, we already talked about the John Corman screwing over that director.
Roger Corman, not John Corman.
Let's see. Yeah, right. I think his name's Roger. John.
His name is Roger Corman.
No, his middle name's John, I think, when I looked it up. But anyway. Anyway.
Anyway.
Let's go over some trivia, I guess. Actress Ann Terkel. She played the scientist lady. She said she chose the film because it was an intelligent, suspenseful science fiction story with the basis in fact and no sex.
Boy, she was wrong, wasn't she?
She was wrong. This is it. Beneath the Darkness is the name of it. She loved that.
I like Denzians of the Dark better.
Denzians of the Dark. What the fuck's a Denzian?
I got it from an Asuka song.
Oh, okay.
The song Red Cell from Fire Eater.
Oh, okay.
George says, I was born a Denzian. So I don't know what it is. We'll have to ask him when he's on the show.
All right. When they were setting up to film Cindy Weintraub's shower scene, producers asked if she would do it nude. It was her first role ever, and she didn't feel comfortable taking off her clothes, so she refused. So they reshot footage later of a nude body double and didn't tell her about it.
Yeah, that's pretty shitty, too.
And she was very upset about it, saying that she had to tell everybody, especially her parents, that wasn't her, them weren't her boobs.
Yeah.
And she said the double had bigger breasts than her anyway. So, oh, shit. One scene of the humanoids. Oh, I don't know why they call them humanoids either. That is stupid.
That is a stupid name.
They're attacking a naked female victim on the beach. It was shot when temperatures were like almost freezing. And her lips kept turning blue, so they kept having to apply makeup to make her lips pink.
That's just weird.
That's weird, ain't it? Linda, Miss Salmon, is her first role and only role and her only ever on-screen nude scene. I think there was only two girls in this that weren't nude in this.
Well, it was the actual actors that were in it. Or the actresses that were, you know, that were in the real movie that were not.
She said years later that she was incredibly nervous pulling off her bikini top in front of so many guys on the crew, but was glad she didn't play a victim like the other actresses. She loved that she got to attack and kill one of the monsters.
One of the Denzians.
Even though her boobs were bouncing around.
And again, this was all the second production.
I don't remember her killing no monster.
I don't know.
I don't. Let's see here. We already covered that. Let's see here. Translation for the title included are as follows: in Japan, Monster Panic. Germany, The Horror from Below. That's a good one.
The Whore from Below?
Yeah, that don't sound bad.
Yes.
Spanish Spawn of the Abyss Sea. Slovakian Sea Possessions. Greek, The Monster Man.
And from Carl Todd, Denizens of the Dark.
All right. And this is the best one, though. From Taiwan, Rabbit Fish Monster.
Well, it sort of fits. I don't think that's that bad.
Rabbit fish?
I thought you said rabid.
No, rabbit. Like
rabid fish. I could see rabid as they have rabies because they acted sort of like they had the rabies.
Yeah, they had that slime all over them. They were slimy. James Horner composed the score in only 14 days.
That score is really good.
Yep. Very good. I listened to it tonight, actually. I think I already said that.
You said it three times now.
A sequel called Humanoids from the Deep 2, The Next Generation, where the creatures learn to talk, was planned. Set to be released in 1991 by 21st Century Film Corporation, but it never materialized, thank God.
I kind of would love to have seen that. The talking Denizens would have been good.
Whenever a humanoid is seen getting shot, it's special makeup effects artist Steve Johnson, who is part of Rob Bottin's crew. Yeah, they had Rob Bottin on this. That's why the special effects are so good. According to Johnson, director Barbara Peters really liked the way he performed. And I guess all the makeup guys and stuff had to take turns playing the monster.
Yeah, and they said that the arms was like really long, so they
yeah.
had all the sticks, and it was yeah. very uncomfortable. And the main suit, the other two suits did not have arms or nothing, I don't think.
And the one was taller than the rest of them, too.
Yeah.
The rest were like normal size, so.
Well, they had one good suit, and like you said, they took turns, I think, because they got tired out.
Yep.
That'd be a lot of shit to wear. And they had to sew that shit together, too.
Exactly. But definitely good special effects by Rob Bottin's crew on this. Lynn Thiel was Playmate of the Month in July 1975, so she had no issue being totally nude for her scene where her bikini is ripped off while she's attacked by the monster. Although she said the muck that she was covered in was very cold. She's probably the one that they had to keep painting her lips pink.
Probably so.
Oh, my mouse screwed up again. Much of the Salmon Festival carnival carnage footage was reused in the 1996 TV remake. Have you seen it?
I didn't know there was a TV remake.
Yeah, it was on Showtime. They released it on Showtime.
I'm sure it's no longer available anywhere. At least we can hope.
I bet it's on Tubi.
I bet you it's not.
You don't think so?
No.
The name of the small California fishing village is Noyo, and this is actually a real town. It's in the unincorporated community of Mendocino County, California.
It sure looked pretty redneck for California.
A lot of that is, though. A lot of that shoreline is. They're like fishermen and... It's like a West Coast version of like Massachusetts almost, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let's see here. No wonder it was cold. It was filmed during October, November, and December of 1979.
Hmm.
It's cold in Central California, man, in the wintertime. Everybody thinks California, it's 70 and sunny all the time. Bullshit.
I think that's L.A.
Well, sometimes L.A. gets cold, too. And the desert's always cold at night, whether it's summer, winter, or whatever. Oh, let's see here. This is the first role in nude scene for Lisa Glazer, the woman attacked in the tent on the beach with the puppet.
Hopefully it's the last.
Yeah, some of these people, the acting.
There was no good actors in this movie. Nobody. None of them. None of the actors were good.
The wife, she did a pretty good part. Being,
I would say the Native American guy might have been the best.
Him too, yeah. Yeah.
But it's really just no good acting in this movie. I think I could have done a better job in it. I know I could have. I'll throw that at you. Denizens of the Deep, I'd have gave him one of these, and I'd have gave him one of those, and then I would have choked him. That's what I would have done to him. I quote this wrestler. Look on Facebook, on my Facebook page, and you'll see Monster Number 2. He'd give you one of these, and he'd give you one of those. Look on my Facebook page. He's there. What else you got, Brett?
There's not really nothing else, really.
We'll cover the Blu-ray real quick.
All righty, do that.
Scream Factory did a Roger Corman cult classic set a few years ago. Been about 10 years ago, I think. Roger Corman got with them, and they put out a majority.
2011, I think, is when they did that.
Yeah. So it's been out for a while. It was Roger Corman's birthday last month. Yep. Maybe. Yeah, and it was in April. And since this has been on the list for like 2 years, I just went ahead and bought it because I got it for like $7.99.
Cool.
Compared to last week when I was critiquing Children of the Corn looking so bad, this actually looks pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Low budget movie that from then. It does have a few good special features. It's got the interview with Roger Corman that I enjoyed. And they talk a little bit about the movie. And there's some cut scenes, which I wasn't that interested in. And this was supposedly for the first time on home video, the complete uncut, uncensored version of the cult classic. So I guess all those nude scenes were not in some of the previous releases. I don't know. There's some release that came with a book and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, that's where I read somewhere. There's a special edition one.
This is the only one I can come up with, unless it was a European version.
Is that from Scream Factory?
This is Scream Factory, yes. Okay. They released the whole Roger Corman cult classic collection. I guess it's movies that he still had the ownership of.
Well, maybe they only gave the booklet out when it first came out. Maybe
New World Pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
I have to have my flashlight on here so I can read because it's so dark in here. It's got the they say this is a high definition transfer of the international version, the never seen deleted scenes, the Leonard Maltin interview with Roger Corman. That is worth the price of this DVD in itself or Blu-ray. Really? And then making of the film where they did the whole interviews. It had Roger Corman and the second director. And James Horner was also on it, the composer, and then the salmon lady chick. So I'd say this is a really good Blu-ray release for a budget, for Scream Factory at least. It's cheaper than your average. I say I'd give this a dang 4, I think, as far as the Blu-ray release. I don't know about the one with the book and shit. I really wouldn't be interested in that anyway, I don't think. This basic copy was good. They made it look pretty clean and pretty well done. So
well, that must once be again same, that must be the same copy they're showing on Tubi then, because
I think the Scream Factory does port stuff to Tubi from what I've noticed.
You can watch it on YouTube even.
Yeah, well, they also have that Scream Factory TV. They show some of the lower, not the movies that they have the rights to, not the ones that they're leasing from Paramount or Warner Brothers or whoever.
Yeah.
I have Dracula, and now I have Halloween showed up and she's got a wet tail.
She's been outside in the storm.
I think she got in right when it started. She don't like storms. But anyway, that's what I'll say on that. And I guess we'll rate this movie, Brett, and I'm letting you go first this time.
Okay. This
movie, this was your pick.
I know.
This was not a Carl Todd pick movie. Just like last week was a Brett pick.
I got two in a row.
Two in a row.
Okay. Well, this movie's near and dear to my heart because one of them movies I seen spending a night with a friend that had HBO when I was like, you know, like I said, I wasn't even 13 yet.
12. Yeah.
Yeah. And watched it over there. Just like I seen Phantasm there and a bunch of the old 70s, early 80s horror, you know, because fuck, my parents wouldn't be paying for HBO. My old man bitched because he had to pay to watch the fucking Cubs on WGN.
Yeah.
But anyway, back in the day, man, this was a cool movie to me, you know, when it first came out. Special effects was really good.
They hold up now.
Yeah, they do. Great practical effects. The creature, you know, I thought it was sort of goofy looking even back then, you know, but they did a good job with it for what they, you know, what money they had. If they would have had more money, they probably would have made the creature better. So, I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Okay. I guess it's my turn.
It's your turn.
Now, this is a movie I was never familiar with. I've never heard of it. I've never seen it. So I just bought it on Blu-ray because, like I said, it was fairly cheap. Like I said, the score, great. The storyline is actually not too bad. The whole thing about making the salmon, however the fuck you say that word, bigger
salmon.
And
salmon. Meatier,
and meteor, you know, and they end up making these Denzians, not a bad story. They could have really been done a little better, probably, but we're looking at a low-budget Roger Corman film from the early 80s, late 70s. The acting is horrible, and the production is pretty terrible since we're mixing two movies together.
Exactly.
The effects are great. So with the effects and the soundtrack, that's going to give it a 2 right there.
Okay.
Storyline, I'll give it a 2.5, and that will be my final grade of this thing, a 2.5, but okay. I give the acting a 1.
Okay.
Not like the acting, and I didn't like the production of them having to make basically go back and refilm and splice the movies together. I thought they probably should have just stuck with what they originally had, and it might have been a lot better movie that way. So that's my take. I'll give it a 2.25.
You just said 2.5. You knocked it down a quarter point.
Yeah. But remember, my average is a 3, so that's not terrible for me.
Yeah.
I do Tarrant County grading. When I first started there, we used to all get 5s on our evaluation. And then one year they came in and gave everybody like a 3.1. Everybody was like, what the hell? And they're like, look, stupid asses, 5 is perfection. None of y'all are perfect.
Exactly.
Just a 3 is average. So I try to do this with the movies. So.
Yep. Yep. They started that. They did that shit with me too. And I worked at the cable company. I got 5s every year for like 5 years in a row.
I think they might have changed that. The whole country changed at some point.
Yep. You can't get a 5 no more.
Yeah.
Then I was like, fuck it. I was getting 2s and shit.
Well, whenever I grade a movie a 2, that's not saying it's terrible. Like I said, it definitely better than Pumpkinhead.
Better than Blood for Dracula.
That movie was -5. No, that movie didn't get rated. It was so bad, and I'm still mad about.
We didn't
that
even
movie.
We didn't even finish the episode.
No, and that fucking Pumpkinhead's not a pumpkin, so we're not. Yeah, in terms of bad films, this is not the worst we have reviewed by far.
Oh shit!
Do I recommend this movie?
Oh,
I will say
definitely.
No. I do not recommend you watch this movie. It would be a waste of time.
No.
Skip it.
It ain't that bad.
It's not worth watching.
Everybody's got to see it at least once, man.
Just skip it.
If you're a Corman fan.
If you're a Roger Corman fan, watch it. If you're not, skip it.
For sure.
That's all I got. My views. Thank you, you sons of bitches. Harley Race quote there.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening. And check us out on all the social medias. Hit that like and subscribe on the YouTube. I think we only need like 80 more people so we can go live on iPhone.
And 2 weeks to Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Yes, if you're in North Texas, come check it out and say hi. Get on
we'll put you on YouTube. Yeah, we will. We're actually, there is media, so we're going to be covering the whole convention.
Yep. So we're going to have two phones going.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody. We will talk at you. I'll talk at you Wednesday for the midweek. I have no fucking clue what I'm doing.
Dude, you've been doing good with AC/DC and Led Zeppelin. People are liking this classic rock. I'm just saying. Okay. More than Cannibal Corpse.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how it goes.
You don't want to burn them out.
Yeah, I don't want to burn them out. I got to get back to my death and destruction.
Yep. All right, everybody. Stay evil, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Bye, everybody.
They're coming. Humanoids from the deep. A tidal wave of rampaging creatures surges from the dark and violent sea to conquer the Earth.
Maybe intelligent enough to perceive man as a competitor.
Why the girls?
It's my theory that these creatures are driven to mate with man now in order to further develop their incredible evolution.
That's enough to scare the hell out of me.
Soon the world will awake to a terrifying riptide of humanoids from the deep.
We think we know where these things come from, but we have no idea how many there are.
The Earth plunges into a battle for the survival of the fittest, where man is the endangered species and woman the ultimate prize. Anywhere you run, any place you hide, anytime you stop, they will find you. Doug McClure, Anne Turkell, Vic Morrow. Humanoids from the Deep.